This morning, and I'm just really glad you're here. If you don't know me, I'm James Jones, and I have the honor and privilege of being the lead minister here at Taylorville Christian Church. Neil, back here in the blue shirt, is our student minister, and my wife is with the kids. She's our kids minister, and we all get to be a team here, and we're thankful for each other and the rest of our team on staff. And again, whether you're here because someone invited you, or maybe you just thought the first Sunday of the year is a great Sunday to start coming to church, I'm really glad you're here. And if you get a second and you want to meet me, I'll be out in the back in the foyer afterwards, and I'd love to say hello to you. As we get started this year, you know, we've just come through the holiday season, and if you're like me, you've been on social media and you've seen all the posts that people have put online of Christmas gatherings, New Year's gatherings, everything looks perfect, right? Everybody's just the way they ought to be, which is what we do when we post things online, because we want everybody to think we got it all together, right? We just do that. And it's not always 100% real, right? We know that there are some cracks in our own lives, some things that are not exactly like we want them. And that family gathering, while the picture looks perfect, there may have been an incident before or a few minutes after that made us really uncomfortable with what someone said or the way that we interacted. And it probably wasn't as perfect as we want it to be, but we want everyone to think that we are thriving, like everything is great. And so we put those pictures on, but what I'd like for us to think about for a good part of this year is, what does it really mean for us to thrive? What does that look like for a follower of Jesus? And I think the Bible tells us some really important things about that. I think it speaks to it in lots of different ways. Now, it may not look exactly like the culture would say thriving looks, but I think there's some lessons that can help us understand just what it means. So whether we're talking about relationships or we're talking about work or our relationship with God or lots of other areas, we're going to take some time in and out of other series, so it's not going to be a year-long deal, but we'll jump back into this several times through the year to think about thriving in our family, in our relationships, thriving in our work. And we're going to see what the Bible actually has to say about that. Now, if we ask somebody in our culture, I think lots of people would say thriving means, well, something like success, right? So we got a good job, we're making plenty of money, got money in the bank, ready to retire, pay for college, all those things that are going to come our way. It means that our family's looking good, we dress well, we got the food we want, we drive the cars we want. Everything is just as we would have it to be. But is that what thriving is for people who believe in the God of Scripture? And is it what thriving is as followers of Jesus, the one who died on a cross for us? Is that what thriving is all about? And so I want us to explore that a little bit this year. And I think it's good to think of it in terms of the imagery of a plant. Now, we plant lots of things for lots of different reasons, right? We might plant crops to produce that crop and then to make money. We might plant some things in our backyard that are going to feed our family. We might plant some things in our garden that are going to look good. They're going to have blossoms or they're going to have greenery. Each one of those things has a different purpose, but if that plant is thriving, we can usually tell. We can look at it and see it's doing what it should do to produce the result we were hoping for, and it only is going to do that if it has the right conditions. So if it's got the right soil, if it gets enough sun but not too much, it gets enough water, but not too much. It gets enough food, but not too much. The conditions are just right. That plant is going to thrive. And so the way I want us to approach this is to think about how we can create the right conditions for us to thrive in the way that God wants us to thrive. What does that mean? Well, that's what I want us to explore today. And to do that, we're going to turn to the Gospel of Matthew, the very first book in the New Testament. We have four Gospels in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew's the first, and we're going to jump into chapter 6. Now, if you know much about the Gospel of Matthew, what you know is that we find the Sermon on the Mount there. And what that is Jesus speaking to a lot of people at one time, and chapters 5 through 7 are just Jesus teaching. There's no stories, no healings, none of that stuff, just Jesus teaching. If you got a Bible that has the words of Jesus in red, almost every word from Matthew 5 to 7 is red. Jesus talking. And right in the middle of that, Jesus talks about worry. Now, that's something I've talked about multiple times. I've talked about being a worrier. Pastor Neil talked about that last Sunday. So we're not going to deal with that a lot today. We'll come back to it at another time. But Jesus' point is, we can think of a lot of things to worry about. So this is what he says, Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Well, yeah, we could worry about all that stuff. And many of us have worried about all that stuff, or worried about having the necessary funds to make those purchases, to provide for our families. Yes, those are things that we worry about because they're right at the heart of our needs. But Jesus says over the next few verses, hey, you could worry about that all the time, but it's not going to do any good. It's not going to change your conditions. It's not going to change whether you have the food you need, the shelter you need, the clothes you need. None of those things are going to change because you worry about it. And in fact, since we worship this powerful God, we shouldn't be worried about those things. Verse 31. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? Why? Verse 32. For the pagans run after all those things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Now, what's Jesus saying there? He's saying, listen, if you look in the world around us, all these people around us who live in the Roman Empire, they worship this whole pantheon of gods, multiple gods. And the goal is to make your offerings to all the gods, to keep them happy, because if even just one god is mad at you, it's going to be miserable. He's going to make sure things are not good. So you got a god to the sun, the moon, the seas, the land, the crops, fertility, all those things. And you don't want any of those gods to be mad at you. So you spend your life keeping them happy. And Jesus says, that's not who we are. Because we worship the one God who created all that is and created every one of us. And furthermore, he's a God who loves us. And his goal is not to make our lives miserable or to trick us into something. His goal is to care for us. This God loves us. So we got no reason to sit around and worry like everybody around us does. And then Jesus gets to the heart of what I want us to hear from him today in verse 33. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. What does it mean to thrive? I think our answer is right there. Seek first. The most important thing is the kingdom of God and God's righteousness. Now, here's the struggle. When we hear that language, Matthew always calls it the kingdom of God. When we go to Mark and Luke, it's always, or Matthew says kingdom of heaven. Mark and Luke are always the kingdom of God. But we hear that language, and we hear heaven, and it's like, okay, it sounds like we're talking about what happens at the end. Like when Jesus comes back, we all go to heaven. So Jesus, when he says the kingdom of heaven is like this, he's talking about something way off in the distance. We'll get there after we die and Jesus returns. But that's not what he's talking about. The kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God, if we read either one of those phrases, what we're talking about is God's reign on earth through Jesus from now to eternity. So the kingdom of God is at work in us today. The kingdom of God asks the question, what would it look like if God was in charge? What would this world look like if God was really everyone's priority? And the church really should be sort of a small example of what that looks like, if God were really in control. And so what Jesus is doing is inviting us, every Christian, to participate in what God is doing in the here and now. And Jesus says, that's what I want you to be focused on above all else. That's the number one thing. In other words, thriving really is participating in the kingdom of God. Now, Jesus illustrates that a few chapters later. I think it's the same topic, And Jesus tells a couple of sort of, they're more comparisons than stories, right? We have parables all through the Gospels, at least all through the first three, where Jesus says a lot of times things like, the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven is like this. Let me tell you about it. And he tells a story. And sometimes those stories we get right off. We understand exactly what Jesus is saying. Some of them challenging. Here are two really short ones that are less stories and more like comparisons, but they make the point that we're talking about with the kingdom of God. So, Matthew 13, beginning in verse 44. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Now, Jesus there is playing on sort of a common theme in the ancient world. Remember, we got people who grow crops to survive till next year. I mean, they're living on just enough. They may have one change of clothes. That's it. Just enough food. And so there was this dream. What if I found hidden treasure? We might say, what if I won the lottery? Right? What if I won $50 million? What would happen? What would change in my life? Certainly the church would be doing a lot better off because you would give 10% of that, right? What if? And a lot of people did ask that. What if I found buried treasure? Wouldn't that be awesome? It would change my life. I could have everything I need, everything my family needs. So Jesus says, what if you're working some ground and you did find buried treasure? What would you do? Well, you wouldn't steal it. What you would do is, man, you'd go sell everything you'd got. You would borrow money from whoever you know to go and buy that field because you know it would change your life. And the kingdom of heaven is like that. It's so powerful. It is so life-changing. You would do whatever you can to be part of it. He uses another comparison, verse 45. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. This is a guy who is spending his life in that trade business, and he finds the pearl. Like the one he knows is going to make him enough money to retire. This is it. What's he going to do? Sell all the other pearls, everything of value he has to buy the one because it is of such great value. That's the kingdom of heaven. So what does that mean for us? It means of all the stuff in life, all the things that we could pursue, all the ways that we could define thriving, here's the way we think about it. We thrive when we value what's most important. We thrive when we value what's most important. And for us, the most important thing, Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of heaven. What's most important is participating in what God is doing, not what God is going to do in eternity. Hey, that's great. That's a value. We talk about that for a month in December. But God's at work today. God's at work in this building today. God's at work in your home, in your workplace, right now. And he's saying, listen, I want you to be part of it. And what thriving really looks like in every area of your life is participating in the kingdom of God. Thriving is participating in what God is doing in the world right now. Now, you're already thinking about this, I bet. That might not look like the way that the world tells us thriving should be defined. I mean, if the world says thriving is looking good, having money, being successful, well, that may not be the same as what the kingdom of God looks like. Because God's values may be different, and it might even be that someone who doesn't seem super successful in the world, doesn't seem like they're thriving in a way that the world would say thriving exists, they really are thriving according to what God says. They really are thriving because they're successful in the ways that God says success should be defined. Thriving is being in the right conditions and doing what we were created to do. And that's what Jesus is saying. Participating in what God is doing in the world. Now, let's go back to that plant imagery. Plants that we put in the ground for different reasons. Crops, produce, blossoms, greenery, they're all different. And thriving, because it's pursuing the kingdom of God, may look really different in different times in our lives, right? I mean, that may shift and move. For you, right now, it might be that thriving, participating in what God is doing in the world, means being the very best parent that you can be. Or maybe the best grandparent that you can be, depending on the family. Because there are some little people in this world who are dependent on you and maybe one other person to show them who God is. They're dependent on you showing them how God is at work in their lives even now. They're dependent on you to understand how much the God who created them loves them and is inviting them into a relationship. They're dependent on you in a way they are dependent on no one else. And so, participating in what God is doing in the world, really thriving, is communicating with them this God who loves them. And so thriving may not be making the most money to give those kids everything that they've ever wanted. And we all love doing that too. I get it. But communicating to them how much God loves them, that's thriving in this moment, this time in your life. It might mean that thriving is thriving in the workplace. And usually that means sort of working your way up a ladder, making more money, expanding your influence, all those things. But what thriving might mean is, rather than all that, communicating to your coworkers, customers, suppliers, whoever it is you're interacting with in your work, that God loves them. Even if it's just by your interaction with them. You're just showing them that there is something good in this world that they may not see anywhere else. And maybe you won't be as quote-unquote successful in the ways that the world would say because you're not taking advantage of people to get what you want, but you're thriving because you're participating in what God is doing in the world. Maybe you're in a place in life when you're volunteering some way in the community. There's people in need, and you're doing something to help meet those needs. Maybe they're physical needs, maybe they're emotional needs, whatever. But because you're participating in that organization, you're giving your time, you're offering yourself, there are people who are beginning to understand who God is, and maybe, even though they might not use this language, what the kingdom of God is about because of you. Maybe at work, in the life of this church. Lots of you are. Lots of you are volunteering and serving and leading in various ministries throughout the life of the church. And beginning of the year is a great year, a great time to jump into something like that. But because you're teaching, because you're leading, because you're volunteering, you are showing people in our church and in our community what it means to participate in what God is doing. And that is seeking first the kingdom. Now, again, the world might not totally get this. Because think about this. The two greatest heroes in all four of the Gospels, of course, number one, Jesus, and number two, John the Baptist, Jesus' cousin, the one who goes before him and preaches and prepares people to hear Jesus. And you think about those two guys, and man, if it's a measure of the world's success, it doesn't seem like they did very well. Right? I mean, neither one of them seemed to own property, a house. I mean, John's out there wearing camel hair and eating bugs. That's not success for most people in our world. Jesus is walking around and teaching, and sometimes people love him, and sometimes people hear what he has to say, and they walk away. In the end, they killed him. And yet, both of them were proclaiming the kingdom of God and fulfilling the exact purpose that God had placed in front of them. And here they are, lifted up as examples in four of the most important books of the Bible, the Gospels, as people who are thriving in ways that maybe few people have in the history of the world. So for many of us, as we open this study and think about thriving, we have to redefine what that looks like. We have to rethink that. And that's always good. The Bible forces us to do that at times. Because we can adopt the values of the people in the world around us and not even think about it. And the Bible is calling us back saying, listen, what you thought was important, hey, not saying it doesn't matter, but it may be secondary to what really matters most. And if we're thriving the way God wants us to thrive, it's because we value what's most important. Let's pray together. As we open this study today, help us to rethink where we are. We may even come to this room today thinking we're thriving, and then you're forcing us to re-examine that. God, help us to thrive as you want us to. And as we walk through this study in various parts of this year, help us to reawaken that desire to seek first your kingdom above everything else. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and continue to worship.